You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Bert, and I'm the senior pastor of Every Nation Church, Greater Toronto Area. If this is your first time, we're really glad that you're here worshiping with us. Everything in the service will let you know what's going on so that you can just relax and take it all in. At this time, we're going to dismiss our children for Children's Church. We're going to pray for them first. What we like to do as we pray is hold out a hand like this as a sign of blessing. You can do that if you'd like to. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the next generation, our children. And as we pray, we do bless them because we know, Lord, that they are the up-and-coming generation. Lord, pretty soon they'll be in our shoes. And so we pray that you would give them a great foundation. Bless their time at Children's Church. Bless their teachers as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give them some encouragement as they head off to their classes. Don't sit down right away. While they're getting settled, it takes them a minute or so. Say hi to someone around you. When the video comes on, that's your cue to take your seat. To have you this morning. Good morning. Hey, let me, good morning. Again, and good morning. If you're new here, maybe this is your first time here, or you've never filled out one of these guest cards, we would encourage you to fill one out today. If you fill it out and give your information, we would like to give you a gift. So you can take this card, fill it out, give us your name, your email, just a bit of information, not much. And if you turn it into the Get Connected table at the back, we'll give you a nice gift. There's a Tim Hortons gift card in there, some chocolate, and some other information about the church. We love having new people, but we hope that you'll want to stay connected with us and come again. Well, next week we are starting a new series for Christmas as we're coming into the first Sunday of Advent. God with us, but we're going to finish off this series called The Struggle is Real. We've been looking at kind of the hard parts of our stories and the difficult parts through the eyes of this prophet Habakkuk, but it's great that we're going into a series so positive of just how God is going to be with us in all his different ways as we celebrate the Advent season and Christmas. Last Sunday, Sheila and I were away speaking at our Every Nation Church in Montreal called Jubilee. And so all your family members, spiritual family members from Montreal, say bonjour, hi. And that's about the, I don't know much French, but I know how to say that at least. So they all say hi, and it's great to have our connection. You know, sometimes people get transferred or students graduate and have jobs, and we're trying to increase the connection between our other Every Nation churches in Canada. Speaking of Montreal, my son and his girlfriend were also in Montreal. It's American Thanksgiving. They decided to go to Quebec because they had the week off. So we got to stay on an extra day and just tour around and see some of the sights of Montreal. And we were eating a meal one time, and we were just talking about Christmas, and Daniel started reminiscing, and he said, you know, when you're a kid and the night before Christmas and you're going to get presents, it's like there's this thing called anticipation. I think I have a picture of, you know, the Christmas presents under a tree. That's not our house. It's just a stock photo. but you get the feeling. And he was mentioning how, you know, there's just, not only Christmas, but other events, because Pilar, you know, chided in about Christmas or going to Disneyland the first time. You get the point. Anticipation. And when you're a child, there's these heightened levels of anticipation. And then we were talking about how as you grow older, it's more difficult to get excited about the new things as they come along. In fact, I only know, like, the exception. Here's one more concept on this anticipation. Henry Connick Jr. Has a song on his Christmas album, said, "I'm going to be the first one up Christmas morning." And so that sentiment of anticipation and things also comes out in popular music. And so that's the point, that as adults, anticipation wears off. There's only one person that I can think of as an adult that's been able to keep the anticipation up, and it's this fellow here. That's another one of the Thompson traditions, is to watch Elf, you know, each year and things, and all the other great Christmas movies, Die Hard, and no. but, you know, the reason why we laugh about Buddy is because somehow he's been able to pull, you know, that anticipation and enthusiasm into adulthood, but he's very a rare situation. But how do we live a life with more anticipation, a realistic, but not losing that? There's something of a joy in anticipation, but as we go through life, we can start to lose that. And then when we think about the future, instead of with anticipation, sometimes it's with just like regular, or sometimes even anxiety about the future. So as we've looked at this small Old Testament book called Habakkuk and saw this prophet's journey, personal journey, through working through struggle and coming to resolve at the end. Is it possible? I believe it is. And this prophet not only captured this journey through the pages of Scripture, but put his life into it, and we see his prayers. And what I want to do as we wrap up this series, I want to take us just quickly through the whole book again. So in the next several hours we have today, lunch will be brought in, and so just don't worry about it. Not really. I'm going to just do a couple of recaps, takeaways, okay? I'm going to call them takeaways. There's probably a lot of takeaways in this series, but here's a few that, as your pastor, I wanted to highlight for us, and I hope that you can center. And the first takeaway is that we really do need to learn to lament. Learn to lament. The book begins, Habakkuk 1, verse 2, and the first part of verse 3 with this: "O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear, or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong?" Those are complaints, even maybe tipping to the point of accusation. Historically, the southern kingdom of Judah, which is part of Israel, was really on its last few years of its history. The Assyrian Empire was in power, but the Babylonians were quickly on the rise. And his answer to Habakkuk was that, hey, don't worry about a thing. I'm going to raise up the Babylonians, and I'm going to deal with all the injustice and the things that you see. And Habakkuk struggles with God's answer. It's interesting that Habakkuk saw the injustice and the oppression around him, but he didn't ever blame the people. You know, he really only blamed God. This book is different than the other prophetic books and the other prophets who wrote during this period, because it would be prophets usually take words from God and then give them out to the people. This was, the people got to peer into this book because it was written down, but it's not an exchange of go tell my people this and go tell my people that. There's none of that in this book. It's really the prophet's journey himself. And so the prophet wasn't really blaming the corrupt leaders. He wasn't proclaiming the people. He was really just blaming God. Why is that? Why do we sometimes get to that point? I think it's because we can handle evil and brokenness until it gets personal. Something that affects us personally or is close to us, that's when we really get mad at God. That's a time where we're tempted to take our anger out on God, and we actually have to cross the bridge where we're okay with that, because that's what it means to learn to lament. In my life, I thought it was totally unspiritual to be really mad at God. I thought it was also unspiritual to ever express anger of any kind, even though that David in the Psalms expressed anger. I mean, some of his Psalms are like, take my enemy's children and dash them onto the rocks. I mean, how would you like that for your, you know, write a worship song on that Psalm? It didn't mean that he was really ever going to do that, by the way. But he was getting in touch with the level of how his soul was being vexed and how he was feeling at the time. And so there are parts of your story and mine that maybe we can't share all the parts publicly. I've shared with you before some of my personal struggles with anxiety and depression, and that I see a Christian counselor on a regular basis. But it's an inner core that kind of know what are the sources or what led, you know, in my story, because everybody's got a story. Everybody has a childhood. Everybody has dark parts of their life. If you were to be completely honest, you would know that there was, and I'm not even talking about just the big things, whether you maybe were abused or neglected or abandoned. Those are the big things, and they happen a lot in a modern society, but there can be other things where just going up through life, maybe you were shamed on the school ground, and at some point it put within you such a mark that you've been having to kind of live in a guarded way ever since. And maybe you're not even aware of that. Part of our growth and journey is to understand how the situations and the dark parts of our life affect us now so that we can be healed. So learning to lament, that's a big part of this book. It's probably half of it, learning to lament. When I reflect personally, let me just share from my perspective, and I really do express my complaint to God, I find that these are my top three. Want to see my top three complaints? Well, you're going to hear them anyhow. But I just wanted to leave you on the edge of your seat, that's all. So here's my top three complaints. Number one, why, God, did you let this happen? How many have ever complained that one before? Why, God, did you let this happen? Why? I mean, I was a child, or I was a teenager, I was, you know, a young adult, or maybe it's just something that happened recently. Why, God? Did you let this happen? Here's my number two top one. If you really cared, God, you would have done something. If you really cared, you would have done something or not let it happen or, no, not let it happen. This is close to this one. You would have done something. You don't feel like God did anything. And here's one for me. I've served you, and this is what I get in return. You know, I thought, you know, if I responded and did things in joy for you, that somehow there'd be some sort of reward here, or instead I get that. But this is lament. These are very real feelings and need to be expressed to God if we want to move through them and to find grace and truth and how to move forward. But these very feelings need to be expressed to God, and that's what it means to lament. It's a complaint. Second takeaway is to gain God's perspective. Habakkuk 2, verse 1, this is what he said. I will take my stand at the watchpost and station myself in the tower and look to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. Many times when we're in the struggle, we can get more and more inward. We can get more and more lose perspective. Habakkuk, as he prayed, said, I'm going to go up into the tower. Well, in ancient times, the wall or the tower was where you could look out, because many of the city's ancient cities had walls around them, so you're inside the walls, and they had walls and a tower. And that's why when you read your Bible, you'll sometimes see the phrase watchman. You know, watchman is someone who goes up in the tower, and they're able to have a perspective. They can see when the enemy's coming. They can see how many. They can get a perspective from the watchtower that you can't from other vantage points. Another scripture says, the name of the Lord is like a strong tower. And so when you go up and you ask God, God, give me the big picture here. Help me not to just see what I'm dealing with right now. God will deal with evil in the appointed time. And our story fits into a grand narrative that's being played out. God uses evil in the short run to bring about his plan. It doesn't mean he endorses evil. The classic verse on this is Genesis, when at the end of Joseph's life, I don't have time to tell you who Joseph is or anything like that. For those of you who know your Bible, you know this. For those of you who don't, we'll teach it to you later. The classic verse at the end of Joseph's life, and he had a lot of bad things happen to him, but then his vision, that his dream was actually came to pass. And in Genesis 50, verse 20, I don't have this scripture on the screen, but Joseph said to his brothers who caused a lot of evil in his life, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So even the dark chapters can be redeemed. It doesn't mean that God wanted that to happen, but anything that we go through in life, do you know one thing that we can do with that as we process it is that we can be a blessing to someone else. There's one thing saying, I sort of know how you feel, and this is how God redeemed me, and this is how I'm going forward. But it's another thing to say, I've been there. And so even the dark chapters of our story, God can redeem. And he can use for his glory and to help other people. God will bring down every nation and people practicing such evil and corruption. Now, God lays out in Habakkuk chapter 2, the five woes are characteristics of all future Babylons. So Babylon becomes an actual historic nation that God deals with, but it's also a picture of all the nations when they rise and fall. If they are corrupt, they will eventually crumble. We looked at, so we're talking again, gaining God's perspective. Here's five woes of a Babylonian-type culture. And this is from the second chapter of Habakkuk. There was economic injustice, which is taking what is not your own. There was economic segregation, using wealth to separate. Economic inequality, using slave labor. Corrupt leaders. While everyone else is suffering, they're living extravagantly. And finally, the fifth woe was idolatry. And we had a whole series on idolatry and what it means to us in a modern context. And you can look at that. But putting one's trust for identity, security, and significance in something or someone other than God. And when we look at this list and we see God's, we're going to go into this next takeaway. But these situations will be dealt with. How many people know of a country in the world where there's corruption? I mean, serious corruption. It's not a good situation, is it? I mean, if you're from a country where, number four, or what was it? Number four, corrupt leaders. While everyone else is suffering, the leaders are living extravagantly. This is a reality in many nations of the world. And we need to live a counterculture life, which our next point is. But God is going to deal with every nation. That doesn't last. It's not workable. God will bring nations down, and he'll raise them up when these things happen. Okay, takeaway number three. It's in response to what we just said. Live counterculturally. Live counterculturally. In Matthew 5:16, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, to let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You know, that last thing about idolatry, about putting our, trust for identity, security, significance in something or someone other than God. I came across this neat quote by Henry Nguyen, who's a fairly famous writer. I think he's Danish, but he lived out the end of his life in Toronto before he died. And I love what he said, five lies of identity. I am what I have. I am what I do. I am what other people say or think of me. I am nothing more than my worst moment. And I'm nothing less than my best moment. You know, these are lies of our identity. I mean, every one of these, God has another answer. I am what I have. Scripture teaches us to be content that with what we have. It doesn't mean that we never have a desire, but there's a sense when we're secure in God, we don't need to have another possession to make us feel good or to give us a status. Or, you know, I am what I do. Well, I have to have those grades and I have to have this job or I'm a nobody. I'm sorry, but you are an adopted son or daughter of God. You are the son, a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, no matter what profession you end up doing. I am what people say or say. No, it's what God says about us. Nothing more than your worst moment or best moment. Well, you get the idea that God calls us to live counterculturally, away from those things. Okay, takeaway number four. This is the final one I'm going to hit on. God is with us, and he is in control. God is with us, and he is in control. The third chapter, Habakkuk only has three chapters. It's a very short book. And in chapter three is actually a prayer. It's a prayer of Habakkuk. And he starts the prayer with a desire. He actually has come to the point where he's going to accept the fact of what's going to happen historically, that he accepts the fact that because of where the nation of Israel is at, that there's going to have to be a period of judgment. And God's judgment is always judgment unto restoration. God doesn't judge to punish just because he's hurting his people. When he brings judgment on his people or puts an end, it's for the purpose of restoration. It's judgment unto something. He knew that the way that the nation was able to turn around is if he had to remove some things first and even exile them so that they could get back to crying out to him and being in the place that they needed to be. And at the beginning of this prayer, Habakkuk says that, revive your work in the midst of the years. In other words, I actually would like it, Lord, if, you know, you could do some of this revival now and speed things up. So he didn't lose his desire. I think I have that point on the screen. But here's what I desire. Revive your work in the midst of the year. So it's not fatalism. When we open our heart and our lives to the will of God, it's not in this fatalistic thing of I don't have any hope or I don't have any desires. And even Habakkuk still had some desires, saying, Lord, would be there a way to like speed this up and have some of this going? I'm in a place where I'm going to accept whatever happens, but couldn't you like do a little bit more now? And speed. So he didn't lose his desire. But at the end, here's what I'm ready for. And he said, the fig tree should not blossom nor fruit be in the vines. This was a scripture that Pastor Richard unpacked last week for us. I want to do takeaway four and finish up our service. So I will do my best. Takeaway four, God is with us and he is in control, even if the fire alarm goes off. Habakkuk expressed his desire at the beginning of verse three that he would like things to speed up. But he came to the resolve, he's saying, but I'm ready for anything. It wasn't like he was saying, okay, all these negative things are going to happen. He just said, I'm okay, I'm ready. a confident, remember we started with Buddy the Elf, right? We talked about how that anticipation, you know, there is a way of having an adult anticipation, not a Buddy the Elf anticipation that it's sort of like, the reason why Buddy was able to do that is because he never really grew up. But is there a place to come in God where there can be a mature anticipation, a confident yet well-informed and realistic anticipation of the future, regardless of what comes our way? This anticipation is based upon the promise of Christ to be with us no matter what, or in the words of Habakkuk's prayer that we looked at last week, I will take joy in the God of my salvation. No matter what we're going through, no matter what ups and downs in life take us, Jesus has gone there first. I was going to conclude with a story and an illustration, but I'm just going to skip that. I think we had our story and illustration for the day in living color, so we'll just leave it at that. But I will invite the band to come up, and let's do our closing song. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this little book called Habakkuk and this prophet and his journey. And thank you for all that we've learned in and through this, that you, no matter what happens, Lord, are in control. And we thank you for this. We look to you, Jesus, the one who is always with us and takes us through. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.